Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with William King, the CTO of Subspace. Sorry about that. Good afternoon, William. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm glad you could make it. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually grew up reverse engineering all kinds of systems and networks in the late 90s. Started my first business in about 1998. In college, I started and ran an international consulting company and was building products in like the telecommunications side of space, genomics and high performance computing. Several years back, I joined a regulated telecom named FlowRoute, joined as their CTO, and I've led that company to be able to expand its capacity, resiliency, and all the way through into its successful acquisition. And I actually joined my CEO from there, and he's my co-founder when we started Subspace, a VC-backed startup.
Wow, that's impressive. It sounds like you know a little bit about making things run fast. So that leads me to my next question. Tell us what Subspace does. Who's your typical customer and what you do for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So Subspace is solving global real-time communication problems. And so anybody who has an application, take interactive gaming or voice and video services, think like a remote call center type system. We offer network services, basically network as a service for those type of companies, providing better performance, so latency and loss reduction, DOS protection in a security manner, and just a way better experience for the agents, users, and gamers.
Interesting. So who would be your typical customer? Would it be the hosting company or would it be the company that has the application?
It's usually the company that has the application. So think of like the game publisher or the company that's operating a call center. They're usually the ones who are trying to figure out how in the world do you take hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of offices effectively, now that's post-COVID, everyone working from home, and how do you make the internet work across that type of a fleet?
So you kind of take care of that problem where all of a sudden Zoom freezes, right? And you're not sure if it's you or the other person, right?
Absolutely. So we actually built out some incredible telemetry and measurement systems. So we're basically kind of like, if you think Waze for the internet. So we're basically getting a weather map of the entire internet and all the different intersections. And we're able to basically guide the traffic of each individual stream so that anything that's on our platform doesn't get those freezes or can you hear me now or those the dropped audio type problems.
Interesting. So that's a good way to put it, Waze for the internet. And I understand that application pretty well. So you're constantly monitoring bandwidth to optimize a particular packet of data. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And it turns out, so real-time use cases, while they make up about 5% of the total internet volume, mm-hmm. they make up, it's more valuable than all the rest of the internet volume combined. And if you think about it, gamers and others who are like on Zoom and now with like the pandemic where everyone's working from home, you really need those real-time services as like a critical component. Mm-hmm. And so we offer those services and we also support ISPs as kind of like a partner so that they can actually see and operate their networks more effectively.
Wow, that's very cool. So how long have you been with Subspace?
My co-founder and I started it just under 4 years ago.
Hmm. Okay, so you started it during normal times, and I know you're up in the greater Washington area, great state of Washington. Is Subspace based up there, or where are they based?
No, so Subspace is actually headquartered down in Los Angeles. My co-founder and I started it in San Francisco, so I moved down from Seattle to San Francisco to start it, and then after about a year in San Francisco, we moved down to L.A.
We just froze.
Speaking of
Zoom. So you froze at, you had just moved to LA.
Yeah. So we've started the company in San Francisco, moved it to LA, and then about in the middle of COVID, I decided to move back up to the Seattle area. If we all have to be remote anyway, I'd rather be in the trees in the Pacific Northwest.
There's some of that in the Bay Area too, but you got to get away from San Francisco. I must admit that. You up in Marin County, there's enough of that. Interesting. So was the company like a 9-to-5? Everyone came into the office in LA? That's the start?
Actually, we started it off where my co-founder was commuting down during the middle of the week. And so we started with kind of a hybrid of Tuesday through Thursday in the office, kind of more like a 9 to 7, 9 to 8, since it was a startup type pace. And then when COVID hit, we'd already recruited an amazing VP of engineering away from SpaceX. His name was Dan Roelker. And he actually had some really incredible systems and ways for people to be able to communicate, coordinate, and get all that work done.
Wow, that's cool. And
We were
go
able to
ahead.
shift when COVID hit. Over the course of a weekend, we went from everybody in the office in LA to everyone remote and didn't really miss a beat.
Wow, that's interesting. And what I think is even more impressive is you pulled someone from SpaceX. That had to be a good sales job.
It was no easy feat. We were able to do something incredible in building out a production network in the Middle East in about 105 calendar days in the middle of the summer, because our first customer said, "Could you do something impossible?" And we were like, "That's impossible for a bunch of different reasons. But if we were ever going to do it, that was the time to do it." And so I spent 2.5 months in the Middle East install like signing deals with executives and then going and installing stuff in data centers, and we succeeded. And we helped hundreds of thousands of gamers play better experience. And when we were talking to Dan, he was like, "That's impressive. Let's see if we
Wow.
can do it on a global scale."
So he thinks that building what you've built is more impressive than building your own spaceship that goes to the moon.
I'll let
Wow.
him talk about that in a future time, but he came and joined us.
Yeah, wow, that is impressive. So now, I mean, I mean, I know out in the Bay Area, things are back to normal somewhat. There's talk of it going back the other way, but everyone is, people that want to go back to work now can. I know that, Facebook and Google and some of and Apple are encouraging people to come back starting September 1st. What are you going to do? What are your plans?
For me, I'm looking at it as I've done remote work a huge amount, and I do a lot of traveling anyway. So wherever the office is, I'm probably only going to be there half the time or less anyway. I kind of look at it and say, I think the entire world moved about a decade ahead in the adoption curve of remote work in the span of about 2 months. And now we have a lot of uncertainty about whether or not people are going to come back into the office, or going to be some hybrid, or double down and go remote only. And there's a little bit of a survivorship bias, and the companies that survived going to remote work are the ones still around. So there's a lot of unknown.
Yeah, there is. And I talked to a lot of people say they think it's going to be hybrid just because of people do miss that one-on-one, the sitting around the water cooler and the discussions. But I also think that's going to happen for a little while, and then people are going to be like, I really like not having to deal with traffic.
That's one of the things, like for me in traffic, I always try and live as close to work as I can. If I can have a commute of 5 or 10 minutes, that's better. And for
Yeah,
me, at one flight of stairs, that's ideal.
I have mine right now is 25 feet. I kind of like that. That I can handle. And there's coffee on the way.
Yes.
So, well, cool. Well, I mean, the future, I mean, it sounds like you're expanding. I mean, your product, I can imagine a lot of companies want your product. So I have to assume you're going to be adding employees, for the rest of this year and for a while, correct?
Like all successful startups, we're always moving quick. We're always updating our plans. But yes, we're growing pretty aggressively. And I kind of look at it and say, like, there's a lot of companies who are trying to figure out how to add remote workforce on. They're trying to figure out how to move their operations to remote. And like an example, like call centers. It's way cheaper and more effective to have the agents work from home. And so Subspace actually has a really cool product where we actually support that and enable it. And so that's fun.
Very cool. Actually, believe it or not, I used to work for one of the largest call centers in the country. It was Ingram Micro, if you know Ingram Micro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So they had multiple call centers too, actually. So interesting. So do you foresee that? And it's interesting because your product, right, naturally lends itself to remote work. I mean, you're a network product, right? So do you foresee that that's how you're going to grow? Is just like the best person for the job wherever they are?
I think so. So I think one of the things that we look at least from Subspace, we say, look, the calculus is going to be crazy for everybody. Is it remote work? Is it hybrid? Is it a lot of people in an office or not? Subspace comes through and says, look, the network performance and network quality should not be one of the variables you have to solve for.
Mm-hmm.
You just trust that Subspace is able to provide a high quality network experience for whatever the application is. And if we can't, come talk to me. Let me figure out how I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, when you think about it, actually your product could be used by, you know, companies to help with the remote work. Mm-hmm. You know, like even if they have an application that the people have to support, you know, phone time or whatever time it is, Zoom time is money.
Yep, exactly.
Right. So you actually could help them with that too. It's interesting. I think you've hit a nice little niche here. I think
we did not know COVID was coming, but when COVID hit, we were like, wow, this is compressing our adoption curve as well.
Yeah. Well, actually you and Zoom, and there's a few other companies like Amazon that were like, oh my God, they skyrocketed and they didn't know what, mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like you did know what to do. You were fortunate that you were ready for it, but you know, I'm sure there were some long days there, correct?
Oh, there definitely were. And I think some of those days felt like they went on for weeks or months for many of us.
Yeah, especially when you're at home and you really, I remember back in the early days, you were afraid to go out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're like, well, I might as well work. But after a while, it's like, I want to get out and do something besides work.
Yep. I was actually supposed to go to a music festival, I think the first week of March, right after everything closed for COVID. And we tried having just like a remote, like YouTube music festival with earphones and everything. And it's like, it's just not the same.
Yeah. No, it's not. You know, the other big application is, if you can solve it, is remote gym, remote workout. Because so many times it just, you know, the instructor will be in the middle of a move and it just freezes. And it's like, okay, what do I do now?
I haven't seen that one, but that's a great example.
Yes. No, I've seen it. So it was quite frustrating because you'd be like doing the middle of something and like, and then like 3 seconds, 4 seconds later, it comes back and it's like, he's 4 feet over there. It's like, oh my God. So interesting. Well, William, I want to thank you for your time tonight. It's been great talking to you. I admit it. I think you really do have something there. I think you are going to grow a fair amount over the next few years. So good luck with that. That'll be your challenge. That'll give you these gray hairs.
I appreciate it. It was a great conversation. Hope to talk again soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye.